This is the Iron Gunslinger. Welcome to episode 4, Survival and Prepping and the Things You Need to Know. Welcome back, Gunslingers. This is episode 4, Prepping and Survival. So I wanted to go over a few things. I think I know a few of my episodes are being more streamlined, so I'm hoping to continue to do that. If you want to send me feedback, I'm not saying you need to or want to or anything of the sort. Let me stop that ramble there. My email is irongunslinger00@gmail.com. I would really appreciate some feedback from my audience. I know, I know some of the things I say may be inconclusive or not dynamic or whatever, but it would be really helpful if I could get some feedback from you guys out there and let me know what's going on. Anyway, so let's talk about survival and prepping. I hit on it a little bit in a few episodes back when I was kind of talking about things you should do and want to do. So let's talk prepping. I know everyone uses prepping as kind of a catch-all term, as like, you should do this and prepare for the world end and all this. And honestly, I want to go back to like the one thing about prepping is it's not so much about the gear and the things you have. I want you to keep that in mind. It's not so much gear. It's back to the very basic of prepping is having a plan. And that plan should involve acquiring the gear and knowing where you need to go and what you want to do and who you're going to be with. Because you can't do everything by yourself. Let's be entirely honest. We watch some of these reality shows with the people up in Alaska. They still form a community, and I think that's very important, and I want to put that in here with the prepping today. So when you're doing your prepping, don't think of it as the world's going to end tomorrow. I mean, think of it as a natural disaster could strike, because right now, in my place, let's talk about the polar vortex. If you are anywhere in that, you understand how vital it is to have food and water right now, because it's sub-zero temperatures, it's just everything. And that's just a really good example of, let's talk hurricane season, let's talk major earthquakes. This is the prepping I'm talking about, is having everyone, I believe, should at least have a 3-day supply of food and water for everyone that is with you. Now, me being a husband and a father, I need to have enough food for everybody. That's just what it is. So there's plenty of great products out there. I want you guys to do your research and look at these things. There's plenty of, let me just throw up 3D prep. Let's just throw that into the search, right? Excuse me while I type here. 3D prep survival. All right, here we go. So we're going to have a lot of things come up. And you guys can do this internet. Like, there's an Ultimate Survival Technologies that's at 3-Day Survival Kit at REI. Stealth Angel Survival, $119. I mean, these things are all quite due. I mean, there's even a 3-month emergency food supply from MyPatriotSupply.com. So, I mean, that's just like the first things that pop up. And, you know, you want to consider medicine and other medical needs and, you know, what. And, I mean, if you're in an area that is restrictive on firearms, you may want to be considering some other means of defense and attack. So this is part of the prepping I'm talking about is, and also part of that prep is an escape plan. If you're in a major metropolitan area, like Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, you need to know where you can go and can't go. You're full of millions of people. Millions of people. I mean, let's pull up Los Angeles just for the sake of argument. Los Angeles population. 4 million as of 2017. 4 million people in Los Angeles alone. And I mean, if you look on a map, it's tiny. But we're talking like Beverly Hills, Anaheim, Long Beach. I mean, just looking at the map itself is... It's in itself is a tiny area compared to the rest of California. So keep that in mind. So if you're in Los Angeles or Chicago or anywhere else, you need to be considering what your routes are, because you're in a highly contagious area, congested area. And I mean, it's huge. I mean, you have so many districts. I mean, there's Chinatown, Skid Row, downtown, a fashion district, Koreatown, Little Armenia. I mean, you're dealing with a whole, and I'm not trying to like pick out people. I'm just literally reading off a map here. I mean, but this is the type of stuff I want everyone out there to start considering, is when you're in a situation, and say, let's say we'll take Los Angeles. Sorry, everyone that's in Los Angeles, but you guys have the most chance of something kind of happening major. So let's take Los Angeles and a major earthquake hits, and I'm talking like up the scale of 9-10 magnitude. I'm not entirely sure my scale, but I think that's pretty severe. You can tell me if I'm wrong or not. But I mean, that is huge. Am I wrong? And you're in a city with 4 million, like Los Angeles itself, looking at the map, 4 million people. 4 million people in that area. And it's terrifying. So this is the thing I want you guys to kind of like start pulling out and thinking about, is start considering what your options are, regardless of where you're at, you know, and what you're doing. It's one of those things that it's scary that people don't have an escape route or don't plan these things. It's like, because we are so stuck in the stigma of it won't happen to me. Well, you need to think like it will happen to you. And that's the thing. Like, I'm going to be ordering a few things over the next course of a couple months, because I'm moving as well to a more densely populated area. I'm not going to reveal that location, for my family's safety as well as my own. But it's one of those things you everyone out there needs to consider when you're prepping, is what is your plan? Do you have enough food for at least 3 days? What's your escape route? And how are you going to defend yourself? I think those are very key things in the prepping, is escape, food and water, and defending yourself. And I think those are very viable reasons, because when it comes down to it, if you can't escape a major metropolitan area like New York City or Los Angeles or Chicago, you're stuck with whoever runs that area. And if you're familiar with gangs or how people are, is people are going to start building a hierarchy. And if you already are running a very violent organization, as gangs or mafia or anything of the sort, you're going to start just taking over the area. So I just want you good law-abiding citizens out there to listen to this, like, keep that in mind, that just because things have collapsed does not mean it's going to change. And the other thing too about prepping is knowing who you can trust. That's a big thing, is we as human beings are community based. Now, we have, ever since the dawn of the human race, since it's been pretty much organized and we've been on this planet, we are community. We build communities, we build societies, we come together. Good, bad, indifferent, it doesn't matter. We are a community-based society. So that's another thing too I want you to think about, is when you're preparing for the end of the world, or the, you know, the big one that hits Los Angeles, or the tidal wave that hits New York or whatever, that you need to be with people you can trust. You need to have a line of communication with these people. And I know it's frustrating, because, you know, your brother Paul is a dickhead, but you got to know who you can trust. And I think that community needs this exchange, because, you know, if you're good friends with a doctor, then, you know, you need to take care of that doctor. because he's a valuable asset in a society gone wrong. You know, make friends with your local law enforcement. Make friends with your, you know, if you have buddies in the military, make sure you're up with them. If you have friends that are EMTs, firefighters, if you have people that have trade skills, you know, keep these people in mind, because at the end of the day, it's you're going to need friends. You're going to need your community to get through whatever happens. And we forget that because we're so numb and desensitized to what's happening in the world. I mean, just go ahead and do a search of all the bad shit happening, like Syria and everything else, and you'll see that we're really desensitized. I mean, how many times have you actually, like, paid attention to a full news story besides something from Fox or CNN? Like, and how many times has it been, like, since they actually popped a story about something going on elsewhere in the world? I mean, do you know anything about what happened in Britain, the BRICS exit? They separated from the United Nations, or, excuse me, the European Union. So there's a lot going on in the world, and that's part of prepping, too, is knowing what the social climate is at the time of something going wrong. You know, if Russia, China, and whoever else has a little bit of power decides, oh, I'm going to go fuck with people, you need to be prepared for that, because if something does go wrong, and we'll say the United States does collapse, and I pray to God it doesn't, but if it does, who's going to be knocking at that door? Who's going to be showing up on that coastline? And that's the thing, is prepping is knowing your social climate at the time of a disaster. Because honestly, the world is a pack of wolves, and we're watching each other. As soon as someone shows weakness, we're going to pounce. And it doesn't matter who. Everyone's eyeing America. Everyone's eyeing Russia. Everyone's eyeing China. As soon as a player of power goes out, something's going to happen. Now, I'm not trying to get you to geopolitical nonsense and whatnot, but this is just the very much the basis, is everyone has an eye on each other. We all pay attention to that. So I want you to think about that when you're making your prep, okay? Is have your plan, have your at least 3 to 5 days as food so you can get where you need to go, or make a plan from there. And then have your escape plan, have your alternate routes, everything that you can. And then know who's going to be with you in your community. Excuse me, I missed a step. And know how to defend yourself. I know some of you out there are like, oh, this never happened. I'm like, it can happen. Every time a natural disaster happens, people go back to the very basic necessities. Food, water, shelter. And they will do what they need to do it. If you don't believe me, go ahead and search. Search all the last hurricanes. Search everything else. Like, people will pull together in the toughest times, but they will also tear each other apart in the toughest times. So if you think you're going to survive it and nothing's going to go wrong, well, good luck. And I'm sorry. But so have your, and part of your prep is your plan. Plan, plan, plan. You know, it's always one of those things. Like, how do you get from A to B to C? Where is your safe zone? Where are you going to rally with your community? What is your community bringing to this point? And what are your line of communications to others? Because here's the thing, is if things fall apart, we as Americans are going to try to put everything back together. Excuse me. That's what we do. We are some of the most, we deal with it. I mean, ever since this country was formed, and we've dealt with outside invaders, and I'm sorry for anyone on there, but when our European ancestors came over here, they dealt with the natives too. And to anyone that's Native American or indigenous, I apologize for our European ancestors. They're dickheads, and I'm sorry. I'm happy that you didn't kill them when you had an opportunity, and at the same time, I'm saddened that you didn't kill them when you had an opportunity. But that's the thing, is like, we need to look on the lessons of the past. And I'm a little rambling here, and I'm sorry. When we first came to these shores, when Europeans came to these shores, we couldn't almost exist. Every time there was a boatload, the Native American people of the United States could have just wiped them out, but they didn't. And this is a very important lesson, is paying attention to that lesson right there. is no one to trust, but no one to be able to cut them out. And I know that sounds really weird, but it's like, if you think about it, if you have something foreign showing up and you can't trust them, you need to know your options. You need to weigh the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I just want to keep that in mind. I'm sorry if I offend anyone with that little history there. But just know that we as a society are going to pull through. And it's going to be the good people. It's going to be the bad people. And it's going to be the uglies. And that's the thing a lot of people don't realize is the people that are more prone to violence are more likely to survive because they don't care about you. And this is where everyone that's a law-abiding citizen, when the world goes to shit and don't have a plan, they are going to be victimized until they start standing up for themselves, until they start getting weapons and firearms and building a community against it. So everyone that is out there that's listening, like, oh, guns are bad or whatever, that's fine. You think guns are bad, but know how to use a sword or a bow. You know, put that in your plan because someone's coming to hurt you. This is, like, let me rephrase that. Sorry, not someone's going to come hurt you, but when something happens and you are alone in a situation, you are prey. No matter how much, if you have just too much on you, if you have food, water, anything, you are immediately prey, because you have something somebody else doesn't. So this is why community is important. This is why people that you can be with and trust are important. So I'm going to do it one more time, and then we'll move on to survival and things to talk about there, and then we'll move on with the day, huh? So prepping is having your bug out bag, which is your 3 days of food, water, and any other essentials you need to move from A to B to your rally point. And that's how we'll refer to it from now on, is move from A to your link up to your rally. I'm saying those different because your link up is not your final destination. Your rally point is what you want to be your final destination, where you can rebuild a community and kind of have an outpost to scavenge if you need to. So disaster, link up with the people in your group, rally point, and then start rebuilding things, okay? That's very important. So you got to have enough food and supplies and firearms or weapons to get you there. You may have people, you may be by yourself, whatever. You need to build that plan. Because it's very important to build that plan and be a part and get it done. Because if you're in a city with 4 million or 8.75 million, which I believe is New York, on my last Google check. Let me double check that before I get ahead of myself. Yeah, 800.623 million people in New York City alone. And I'm sure that's the major metropolitan area around it, but still. So, prepping. Plan. Your gear, your routes, your community, all that needs to be a part of it, all right? Prepping is just getting to your rally point and making a plan from there. That's all you're really doing is escaping, okay? Now we'll move on to the long term, because prepping is part of the short term. You can save food have food stocks for days and days, but if someone finds out about it, now you're dealing with it. If people know that you are a full-on prepper and whatnot, people are going to, like, come after you. So be aware of that. That's the thing. If they know you, who you are, be aware. All right? That's the thing. Don't put yourself out there like, oh, I have so much food and weapon and ammunition. Don't ever do that. Please. OPSEC. Operation Security. If you don't know somebody, don't tell them pertinent information, okay? Don't tell them important information about yourself, your plans, or anything like that, because they could use it against you and bring a force against you. Now, with all that being said, let's move on to survival. Survival is after the prepping stage. Survival is the homesteading, or the long term, wherever you're at. If you're stuck in the city, that's the survival part of it. And that survival includes food, water, shelter. Okay? Those are the basics you need to survive. And those will come with anything. So let's start with shelter. Shelter is going to be anything you can put at a roof over your head. It doesn't matter what that roof is, as long as you can keep yourself from being cold, wet, or hot. Okay, let's think in that context pretty simply. There's tons of things out there you could use for shelter. So shelter's pretty easy if you're in a major area. You know, it's just securing buildings and using it, okay? Food is super important for long-term survival. Because once you say the economical collapse of the United States falls down, food will be the next priority on your list to start figuring out how to do. Now, I would recommend that you start by probably learning basic farming techniques and understanding how to butcher animals. Now, you'll be like, oh, well, I never have to do that. It's all in the supermarket. And yeah, you're going to have to. Because when it comes down to it, you're going to have to hunt and kill animals again. And there's deer, there's elk, there's all sorts of game animals that are... Hell, you can even eat bear. But that's the thing, is survival is a long-term thing. We're doing it right now. We're just doing it a lot more comfortably. And you can be like, oh, well, and it's like, it's true. We are doing it super comfortably. You know, I have a roof over my head. I'm looking at my computer screen with Google up. I just ate dinner about a couple hours ago. I am surviving comfortably. That is surviving comfortably. Surviving hard is where you are putting yourself in danger to go get big game and or not big game, but any type of game or vegetables or whatever you can scavenge to survive. So think about that. So food, shelter, water, or shelter, food, water, however you want to put it. So food's always going to be the next priority because you need it. And then the number one, a truly, truly important thing is water. You need to know, start looking up how to sanitize water. And I will just pull up sanitize water. And this one's a big one because... So emergency disinfection of drinking water. This is the first thing that just pops up. Use bottled water or water you have properly prepared and stored as an emergency water supply. Everyone should have just a case of water just nearby. Boil water if you do not have bottled water. Boiling is sufficient to kill pathogenic bacteria, viruses, and protozoa. And that's basically like parasites. And it also says... disinfect water using household bleach if you can't boil water. But I would say probably avoid the bleach and just get the tablets that do the disinfecting for you. All right. Well, let's see. Here we go. All right. Here we go. If you can't boil water, I'm going to read this real quick, and I know it's a bit of a pain as time, but just bear with me. So we got boiled water, bottled water, obviously bottled water. All right. Disinfect water using household bleach. If you can't boil water, use only regular, unscented, bleach products that are suitable for disinfecting and sanitation as indicated on the label. The label may say that the active ingredient contains 6 or 8.25% of sodium hypochlorite. Do not use scented, color safe, bleach it, or bleach it with added cleaners. If water is cloudy, let it settle and filter it through a clean cloth, paper towel, or coffee filter. Locate a clean dropper for medicine cabinet, emergency supply kit. Fresh liquid chlorine bleach or liquid chlorine bleach that is stored at room temperature for less than 1 year. And that's very important, is the 1 year thing. And then there's a table below. So 1 quart/liter is 2 drops of 6% bleach to add, or amount of 8.25% bleach to add is 2 drops as well. 1 gallon of water, 8 drops for 6% and 6 drops for 8.25. 2 gallons, 16 drops, 1/4 teaspoon, for 8.25, 12 drops, 1/8 teaspoon. 4 gallons, 1/3 of 6%, and 1/4 for 8.25. 8 gallons, 2.3 teaspoon, 2/3 teaspoon, and for 6%, 2/3 teaspoon for 6%, and 8.25% is 1/2 teaspoon. So I just literally found this on EPA.gov, groundwater and drinking water, emergency disinfection drinking water, and I just literally did. My search was sanitized water, So there's information out there. Okay, don't be fooled to not do this and look at these things. There's so many guides and everything else by subject matter experts, but do a little research when you do all these things. So that's just sanitizing water. So pay attention to that one. Because of anything else, if you can have food and water, you'll survive. Because the food will give you the electrolytes, everything else you need, and the water will give you hydration. And then shelter is like that one thing that just keeps us safe and warm and gives us that security. So I have one other thing that I want to look at. It's from a magazine. So I read Prepper Survival Guide. They have a lot of really good articles that kind of really get you thinking. And I also read Recoil. I highly recommend those two magazines. I also recommend Recoil Web's website, which is recoilweb.tv. Just look up Recoil online and it should pop up. Or Recoil Magazine. And then Prepper Survival Guide has a really good magazine. So as I'm flipping through here. Oh, and the other thing I forgot to add is sanitation. I recommend if you can. So if your toilet, for whatever reason, and you can't escape the city right away, the toilet is still useful. You just have to find a way to fill the tank and flush it. You don't have to use the clean water, but if you can get a hold of water and flush, then you can do so. So sanitation is that other big important thing about survival. There's one thing I would really recommend for everyone that if things do happen. Here, let me flip through this. I would recommend if you are able to do a composting toilet. So basically, it's a toilet you poop into, like, sod and peat and a few other things. I don't have all the... here we go. Human waste, liquid is... essentially, a composting toilet turns human waste into fertilizer. Liquid is evaporated as the solids are mixed with sawdust or peat moss. There's usually a fan built in the toilet. If you don't have a fan, you're going to figure that out. And sometimes the heat source will. But basically, if you have peat moss and sawdust... it'll help, it'll turn your waste into fertilizer, which you can use for later. So I would recommend that as well. If you're out in the woods, you can use a trench latrine, which is basically dig a trench a few feet long and at least 1 foot deep, and make sure that you are several hundred feet from water source, and keep loose dirt next to the trench. So just, and that's just some things. I'm not trying to be like, ooh, this. But just make good use. And then it's just a lot of really good information that's there and that can get you thinking and whatnot. And also the other thing too I really want to hit on survival is self-defense. If you are anti-firearms and you're listening to this, I really want you to understand that. Firearms are built to kill things. They are. Ever since the conception of the first musket and the first cannon, they are meant to cause ungodly amount of bodily harm. I will not argue that point. But here's the thing. You have, as a person, have to have the intent to go out and hurt somebody. That is the thing. Firearms are doing what they're doing. They are tools. They are weapons. And I can kill people with a sword. I can kill people with a knife. Okay? Everyone out there needs to understand. You need to accept the fact that if things go bad, you're going to have to defend yourself or you're going to die. That's it. If you don't do something to prevent that, you are literally becoming prey. I own firearms. They're off-site from where I'm currently at, but they are easily accessible in time of an emergency, in time of I need to go from A to link up to rally, okay? And this is what I want people to start thinking about is you have to have the intent to use a firearm to hurt somebody, But you make the moral decision, the ethical decision on when to use that firearm or when to use that knife. If someone is being, let's say, shot up and they're coming after you, you need to defend yourself. If you have others in your group, you need to defend them. If someone has a firearm and can use it, they need to defend the group. It can't, but the other thing is, it can't be just one person. That is not fair to them. It's not fair to put that burden on one person. Everyone needs to be responsible for the defense of the community. Because when it comes down to it, people are going to attack each other. Straight out the box. No matter how... If the United States and the world collapsed, we are going to be back to kind of a warring tribe state, if you will. People are going to attack other people for resources because we do not have the means to recreate what we had. I'm going to say that again. We would not have the means to recreate what we have because of how much we would lose. Because we'd lose a lot of technical knowledge. We would lose the ability to use machinery such as robots that build our cars, build a lot of our technical, and a lot of the factories that butcher our food. Now, if you're like, butcher our food, yes, we have, I mean, Tyson and any other company that produces meat, they are slaughterhouses for animals. And they do it efficiently, quickly. But once that goes away, normal people, like you, me, and everybody else, have to go back and doing that ourselves. So when it comes down to survival, I'm going to just kind of step off my ramp train and everything here. When it comes to survival, when it comes to prepping, you need to start putting pieces in place. You don't have to have the most, this is the thing I want you to realize, you don't have to have the most expensive gear. You don't. You have to have gear that is useful and durable. That is the thing you're looking for. When you buy a bag or a knife or a firearm or whatever, you need to know that it is useful, it is durable for the long haul. And if you know how to fix it and do all that stuff, that is even better. If you don't know how to do that, you need to start figuring it out. Because when it comes to time for survival and prepping, so we'll start with prepping, you should have tools in your kit that help you start a fire. That can give you temporary shelter. And survival is building off those things. So I really encourage everyone that's listening to my podcast today to go out and do a little research and see what they can put into your skill slot. Put something into your inventory that'll help you in the long run. And maybe learn some self-defense skills. And I really recommend, if you're serious about self-defense, I really recommend a serious martial art such as Krav Maga, JKD, the Bruce Lee fighting martial art, Krav Maga, I think I said that one, Salat, Kali. There's a lot of really good practical martial arts that will help you with knife fighting, fist fighting. Boxing is a great one as well, wrestling. MMA, if you want to really round out your skill set, I would recommend those because they give you the most use in prep. You can do a fancier one like Aikido if you're planning to like use swordsmanship, if you actually have a sword and you can use it in a bad situation. Excuse me. Kung Fu is useful if you really break it down. But if you're going to do something for the self-defense part of this, and I should have really kind of emphasized on that, and I'll go on that for just a second. If you're going to do self-defense, you need to pay attention to what you're going to be using. Krav Maga is more recent and incorporates boxing, wrestling, and a good combination of jiu-jitsus. And a little bit of karate and taekwondo with the kicks. But it's a very good overall combat martial art. I would recommend several of the more modern used military ones. The other one is Kali, which is the Filipino stick fighting. They use a lot of knife skills, hand skills. I would recommend wrestling. Wrestling is very good, especially if you can get a takedown. But you need to be able to improve on that, because once you take someone down, then you have to really figure something else out, okay? So I really recommend that if you're going to add martial arts into this, this is actually, you need to add martial arts into it, because, but stay to martial arts that are going to be more useful at the time. But I should take that back too, because if we lose, for whatever reason, we lose the ability to make black powder, which I doubt we would, because there's too many gun enthusiasts that still make it, then I would kind of go back to a little bit older school of martial arts, like Aikido and Kung Fu, and more, a little bit more traditional, because swords and stabs and sticks might be more relevant. Ooh, and one more other thing, as I just thought about, if you are uncomfortable with firearms, you need to know how to use a crossbow or a bow, because that is the same concept, and you need to know how to use something that fires, or you need to be good with your hands in fighting, with a knife or an axe or whatever. Because, yeah, I've already said the because, so I'll just stop on the rant on that. So I want everyone to start considering their prepping, their survival, and I would like people to start considering let me put it in here so I make sure I have it. There we go. So I want everyone to start considering the gray man theory. All right, and everyone's like, well, the gray man. So the gray man is the art of blending in during disaster. Is a way of disappearing into the crowd so you can move unnoticed when disaster strikes. The idea is that you can consider your preparedness by blending in with the crowd before or during an emergency. So that's kind of the thing. But there's other arguments and whatnot. Basically, you don't want to have yourself out there, okay? You don't want to put yourself on the radar of anybody else. You don't want to, and I know I'm kind of adding to this, so I'm sorry, but that just kind of goes in hand. You don't want people to know that you are prepared for something to go wrong, because they will come to you. I actually, real quick, just to kind of go back to it, I have coworkers that know I have firearms, and I told them, I ain't bringing you. Because I made the mistake of talking about what I have. And they're like, well, just come to your house. You have the stuff. And I'm like, I don't have anything there. And that was a mistake on my part. Because they were trying to take advantage of what I have. And honestly, you don't want that. You don't want people to take advantage of what you have. And so that's the kind of the thing behind the gray man theory is, when things happen, people should not know that you're prepared to do it. The last thing they should see is you running to your link-up point and to your rally point. And if they haven't, if you're out there and you're like, oh, well, that's silly. And it's like, if you haven't made the steps to, like, start preparing for even small, minor disasters, you're already, in my opinion, in the wrong. And I think you need to really reconsider that, because if you have a family, if you're a mom, dad, brother, sister, whatever you are, if you have a family, you need to consider their safety. You need to consider the people you may be dealing with when things go wrong. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there, but like, oh, my neighbor's like that. And I'm like, I hate to tell you this, but deep down, when it comes to survival, people are going to survive or do everything they can to survive before it kills them. And that is, yeah, and that's the thing, is you don't want to give yourself away in an unnecessary manner. If you're out there in your military listening to this, you guys understand it too. If you're out there and you're already a prepper survivor and you got these principles, but it's for the people that, this is really kind of towards you guys, you people, I shouldn't say you people, I'm sorry, everyone out there that hasn't considered the prepping, hasn't considered the survival aspect of the modern day. Because honestly, living in the modern age right now, the information age, is probably the most terrifying thing I can think of. Because we have missiles that can track, and like, being in the army as long as I am, I know I'm giving a lot of information about myself, but being in the army, I know what we can do when we have, when our technology, even if it's just very basic, when our technology is working, we can destroy things. We can blow buildings up. We can do all this thing. And you'll be like, oh, well, there won't be fighter pilots. I'm like, bullshit. There'll be plenty of, I can guarantee you, if something happens, there'll be plenty of active National Guard service members across the board in reserves. I'll count the reserves too as people that will band together immediately. Why? Because we already know each other. We have a chain of command. And we understand what will is going to happen. And even the veteran community, even the veterans around me, I know I can deal with them and trust them more than a standard citizen of the United States. Because they've already had the training, they already understand my thought process, and we would be building on a rank system as well. So this is the things you need to be considering out there. I know I said a lot and I rambled a lot and I'm sorry. And I should have stuck a little more streamlined, but I really wanted to kind of get stuff out there. So everyone out there, please work on your prepping. Be prepared, build your community, have a plan, and have your kit ready to go at a moment's notice. And that just doesn't mean it's at home. If your kit's at home, you should have a mini kit to get you home, to get your kit, to get you out, and get everybody else out. Everyone should have a plan, and everyone should execute those plans and train on those plans. And I know that's kind of hard, but it is. Also, and then the survival is food, water, shelter, and taking care of those things. Make sure you read up on what you can do to sanitize water, animals, and everything else. Another one other thing I wanted to point out, and I just thought of it, is when things collapse, we are going to be going back to the barter system. I want you to remember this because money will be fucking useless in a social economical collapse. Now we're praying to God that that actually doesn't happen, but if it does, I recommend cigarettes, tobacco, medicines, and liquor are probably going to be your most valuable resources that are just as good as gold, because honestly, ain't nobody going to use fucking gold unless they're going to bling themselves out. And if you don't believe me, go back to history a little bit. When Columbus, the only time gold was monetized was because of the European countries and because of basically Europe. If you look at Native American culture and island cultures before European influence, gold in any of its format was not, if I'm saying this wrong, please correct me in my email. Gold wasn't so much as just a status, or it was more decorative because it was just there and it looks good with these stones. So just remember that when it collapses, if things do collapse, social economic collapse, money is useless. Gold is going to be useless. If you have it, keep it on hand when things come back. But food, tobacco, liquor, medicine. I'm missing one here. Oh, bullets. Bullets will be super important in the end of the world. And just for the sake of argument and social economic collapse of the world. So keep that in mind. There's going to be a lot of things you're like, oh, that's stupid. Why would I have that? There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be super tradable if things go bad. So keep that in mind. Keep those things in mind. Now, honestly, I would honestly have a stockpile of those. And yeah, that's a little cumbersome to have an extra a carton of cigarettes. But a carton of cigarettes might get you out of a bad situation if you need to get out of it, you know? Because money is useless anymore if there's a collapse in the economy. So it's going to go back to bartering, and we're going to have things that people are going to want. And there's going to be people that smoke cigarettes, chew tobacco, and want to drink, and that are sick and need medicine. So keep that in mind on top of everything else. I know it's a lot, and this episode's kind of long, but I really wanted to get some of this information out. I wanted to kind of share some of the resources I've got and just kind of get it out there and get it you guys in the mindset of, these are the things you need to, because I'm already starting to do them. You know, I'm working on my fitness and training. You know, it's stuff that's out there that you can do to prepare. And that's what I want everyone to do is, I'm praying to God right now that nothing happens to our world. But if it does, everyone out here that's listening to this, needs to be prepared to do what they need to do to ensure their community survival and the survival of the human race. Because when the world ends, guess what happens? It's going to be predator and prey and natural selection all over again. And any of you want to be like, oh, that will never happen. Bullshit. That's the only reason we exist in society today is because we have, it'll be predator and prey. We'll be dealing with each other, in which we are the most dangerous animal on this planet. Yes, you could argue a grizzly bear and a Siberian fucking tigers. So, it's dangerous too, but here's the thing. Going toe-to-toe with them, one-on-one, yeah, they're fucking dangerous. But when you have a group of five or more, a bear ain't that fucking dangerous, okay? Remember that. And that's where the community comes in. That's why we've evolved as a community species. So, with all that said, and all that done, once again, my email is irongunslinger, all one word, 00. I say that again, irongunslinger00@gmail.com. Hit me up, send me emails, give me some feedback, what you want to hear, what you want me to talk about. I really appreciate it. I know the I haven't said it in my last episode, so I apologize. So, yeah, until next time, keep it real, gunslingers, warriors, and everybody else that's listening. And don't forget that, I just forgot what I was going to fucking say. Oh, yeah, don't forget that we are a community. And if you are unsure of anything, there's people that are willing to answer your questions either on the internet, over the phone, or whatever. So just be prepared to do these things. So with that said again, all right, gunslingers, survivalists, warriors, and everybody else that's out there listening to this, have a great day, and I hope to hear back from you guys. And not, well, I'll continue trucking on these episodes. So until next time, gunslingers, Iron Gunslinger out.